Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Dorsey.
And I'm Sarah Maley.
And it is December 17th, 2018. And the fateful year. You know what? When you go back, let's take 2008 out. I mean, it was a year where bonds went down and stocks went down. Also, people lost both on both sides of the coin there. 2018 was a year in which I think the accounts were turned over to the margin clerk. 2008, turned over to the margin clerk, and his instructions were raise cash. And everything went correlated. That's when modern portfolio theory, the emperor had no clothes at that point in time. Everything became correlated. Everything went down. And in order to find a time like that, again, you got to go back to 1974. Now, were you here in 74?
No, I wasn't even born. It's okay.
1974, fateful year. Interesting year because I came into this business right at the end of 1974. It's like October 74, almost starting 75. And no one had ever told me we had just gone through a terrible bear market. Had no idea. I went to Merrill Lynch training school. I studied the book. I passed my Series 7. Came back to the office, I'm ready to go, I'm 20-something years old, and I still had no idea that basically all their customers had just been wiped out. And when I started in the business, you would pick the phone up, and this was when you could dial prospects every day, and I would dial every day, maybe 50 to 100 times a day. Hello, Mr. Jones. My name is Tommy Dorsey. And I used to use Tommy Dorsey because that's when the older people still remember the Tommy Dorsey band. I'd have to say Justin Bieber to you. would get that. Hi, I'm Justin Bieber. But my company is Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner & Smith. The reason I called is twofold. First, I'd like to introduce the services of my firm to you, and I'd like to introduce myself. And people would come back and they would say, Mr. Dorsey, I don't want to become acquainted with you. You can go to hell. And I would sit there and think, my Lord, this is a difficult business. Why would a person tell me that? Well, they had just gone through a point in time where the firm, you didn't have all the tools that we have today. And the firm would say, okay, we're at a market bottom. Get your customers back in. Okay. And, well, it looks like it wasn't that market bottom. Get your customers back in. And then finally it's, well, we're at a market bottom. Get your customers back in on margin. And that wasn't the bottom. And people had lost, I mean, probably could be 60% of their portfolio. So I'm coming in not even knowing that this bear market had happened and that this was the last time, take out 2008, this is the last time that you had a market in which bonds and stocks both produced losing years for you. It was a tough time. This year, same thing will happen. Unless we get some kind of a great year-end rally.
Yeah.
But you've got some stats here. Let's look at some stats.
Yeah, just some things that have happened today. We saw the 200-point chart of the Dow move to a negative trend with today's action. That happened at 23,800. The one thing I do want to say about that particular chart is it is still holding above its April and February low, and that's at 23,400. And there's also a little bit of support offered at 23,600, and that's from May. Another index chart to look at is the S&P, which that broke a spread quadruple bottom on its 20-point chart. That chart also offers additional support levels from April at 2560 and then February at 2540. So those are just additional support levels that the point and figure charts have created throughout the year. And those are the support levels that are left and that we're monitoring. On the 25-point chart, so again, this is just speeding or making the S&P chart just a little bit bigger of the box size. That particular chart, the 25-point chart, is now up against its May low, 25.75, and just one box from the trend line. Another thing to notice is that today, if you look at the intraday bullish percent calculation for the New York Stock Exchange, which you can find under the the tools menu, and you can go to intraday reports, And then after you go to intraday reports, you can click on bullish percent. Just kind of gives you an update of that value throughout the day. We are using, you know, it's not set until the market is closed, but it is something you can kind of monitor just to get a good gauge for it. Today it did fall to intraday to 27.48, meaning that we're going to print an O on the BPNYC, an additional O, pushing us below 30 for the first time since 2016. And also the BP Opti and BP OTC will also drop below 30.
You know, when this is something that you and I talked about back in the end of the summer, early in September, I think it was, on this report. We talked about the bullish percent index and how it looked to me like in 1987, the exact same picture of a 1987. But being 2018, it's not 1987. I didn't expect a 20% drop in one day. But things were adding up. The OTC bullish percent is something that not many people still look at. So if you pull up BP, OTC, these are your four-letter symbols. And we talked about this back, you and I, when that had formed that triple bottom. This was in August, that there was something ominous going on here. Not only bullish percent reenacting the 1987 exact picture, but this OTC, which is your four-letter symbols, that's your Amazons of the world and that type of thing, forming that triple bottom. And early October, it breaks that bottom. You can observe a lot just by watching, Yogi Berra said. And that's why you have to look at these different charts. One of the things that's of interest to me that I like to do every year, and this is coming up, is the dogs of the Dow. And what that is, I like this. If I was back in production, one of the things that I like about it is putting some capital to work in a strategy that's done very well over the years, and it's something that you will hold for 1 year. It's not something you have to think about stopping out or any of those types of things. You take you send at the end of the year, and you can search for these. You go search for it right now on our system. You want to look in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, find the highest yielding stocks in the Dow, and then you would pick the 5 lowest price. Or you could go the 10 lowest price, which would be the Dow 10. You can go to Dogs of the Dow, Google Dogs of the Dow. It'll give you all the information you could possibly want on there. That's a piece of the equation that I think makes sense to have in everybody's portfolio, and it's a one-year hold. Another thing that you can do with that I often do, is sell calls against the position. So if you're looking at income, number one, what you're buying here in the Dogs of the Dow is Dow Jones big type stocks that are paying the best interest. Why? Because they're down. You're buying low, at least you're doing that, in stocks that are going to be around. And you could then sell out of the money calls going out 1 year leap. So all the whole strategy comes together at the end of the year. Some things may be called away, maybe not. But that income that you get from selling the leap goes to increase the dividend yield for customers that are yield oriented. So that's coming up here in a matter of a couple of weeks, so you might as well get used to it right now. Find out which stocks are likely to be in, wait till the end of the year, and then make that trade. There's an exchange traded fund also that just has those all wrapped into it. But I think with the Dogs of the Dow, I prefer to own those individual stocks.
And you said the 5 lowest price?
Well, yeah, you're going to take the 5 highest yielding stocks.
Okay, yeah.
Or let's say you're going to just take the highest yielding stocks, 10 highest yielding stocks in the Dow Jones, by the 5 lowest price.
Okay.
So you're buying stocks that are definitely down. Your yield on those stocks are typically 3.5% to 4%. That gives you that 3.5% to 4% cushion. That if things get bad again, let's say the S&P is down 4%, these stocks are already down, that dividend cushions you, and one or two of those stocks end up doing extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
So look at it. Google Dogs of the Dow, and I think it makes sense. Now, there's a lot of other, Arrow Funds has an international emerging market Dogs of the Dow that we didn't get a chance to talk about on the podcast or webcast the other day that we did with NASDAQ. But you want to check into that too.
Yeah.
So anything else we got? I mean, it's it's been a tough year where you've got bonds going down, and you would think one of the problems with portfolios that use bonds as that safety net is bonds have gone down too.
Mm-hmm.
We have a large bond index that one of the largest bond ETFs did worse than the Dow, mm-hmm. than the S&P 500 this mm-hmm. year. That's a hard thing to accept, but our indicators, the defensive team is on the field, plain and simple.
Right.
And has been on the field.
Yeah, we haven't seen, like we've been talking about, we haven't seen any long-term leadership shifts, in the broad asset class ranking in DALI. U.S. equity still has 324 signals in its favor. I've gotten a lot of calls today of just, what to do. Stick to your process. If you are following a strategy that raises cash when, the bogey check fails, then you would have done that. You stuck to your process. If you follow, the First Trust Focus 5 with cash, if you own that ETF, that particular fund has not rotated into cash yet. The fund score models, if you're following those, they're reviewed once a month. The ones that follow that MMPR rating, those will be reviewed at the end of the month, not today. Those have not moved into cash yet. So just sticking to your process. And I think our 12 Days of Christmas series that we're writing over the next week or so focuses on the ABCs of a Dorsey Wright advisor. And the ABCs, we broke it down into adding value, building your process, and then communicating your game plan. So it kind of ties in. Today's piece that will be posted at 6 p.m. is going to actually touch on cash percentile rank, money market percentile rank, bogey check, so those kind of risk management pieces, which I think will also tie into what we're seeing today.
I think that's fantastic. A great, great rundown on that, Sarah. One thing that I also have still in portfolios that I own is what I call probe trading. And it dates back to, and I've mentioned this before in here, to commodity trading, where commodities are big contracts, and used to be you would take a position in a commodity one contract at a time, and you were trying to probe for a trend. And if the trend was established on a point and figure chart and another buy signal given, you would add to that position and then raise your stop to the new sell signal. I do that in portfolios, and it makes me feel comfortable that I'm willing to probe for a trend, and if it doesn't happen, I'll come out on the next sell signal, the first sell signal that happens. But as long as the trend is up, I'll go right back in on the next buy signal. So that kind of strategy, work it out yourself. Look at some stocks, good quality companies. You might want to look at some dividend type stocks now. And use that stop on the very first sell signal. So once you see something in an uptrend, it's turned around, it's broken out, looks good, set your stops on the first sell signal, and if it gives a second buy signal, add to the position. So you might start out with 200 shares, you could start out with 100 shares, and the next buy signal you're going to add 100, next buy signal add 100, and raise your stop each time. And at some point in time, you're going to have some stocks that do extremely well, and finally when they're stopped out, you may have added to the position 10 times. I mean, some stocks just continue to trend. Once they've started trend, they just keep going. So that's another thing that gives you that makes you feel comfortable to know that your fail-safe is already in.
Yeah. And also piggybacking off of that, just overall, just when reviewing your portfolios, just making sure that the stocks that you do own or ETFs are holding above support in a positive trend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially now that the defensive team is on the field.
Absolutely.
It has been.
That's great, Sarah. Good input. We'll go ahead and stop right there and talk to you next week.